Kia ora, welcome to the latest episode of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
It was another interesting week for news from a galaxy far, far away. So let's jump in and execute episode 66. Okay, let's work our way through a series of bits and pieces in our news roundup. First up, in terms of live action production news, we have heard that Season 3 of The Mandalorian has wrapped in its entirety. This information has been confirmed by Carl Weathers on Twitter. Carl Weathers, the actor who plays Greef Karga, of course. He made the comment in association with other comments about the season wrap. He said, and what a season of wonderfulness. He's been quite exuberant about his work on The Mandalorian in the past, and we have talked about that and the fact that we love the fact that he is excited about his character and his involvement. And it's great that he's made his way all the way through to season 3, and hopefully we'll continue beyond that even. Also in news about live action series, now this is a little bit speculative, but very, very interesting nonetheless. I want to talk about the Lando series. Lando series was a Disney Plus, or is a Disney Plus series that was first announced back in December of 2020, but unlike Andor, even Ahsoka, and some of the other upcoming new titles, it's a title we haven't heard anything official about, or nearly next to nothing official about for a very long time. In fact, the last we heard about it officially was back in December 2020 when on StarWars.com it was described thus: everyone's favorite scoundrel Lando Calrissian will return in a brand new event series, i.e. a single season, for Disney+. Justin Simien, creator of the critically acclaimed Dear White People and a huge Star Wars fan, is developing the story. That's all we have basically known for a very long time. We don't know, in fact, we haven't really even known if it was going to be animated or live action, although everyone was hoping for live action. We didn't know if there would be returning actors such as Donald Glover or hopefully even Billy Dee Williams. It's all been up in the air. But very, very interestingly, just yesterday, Donald Glover appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live, which is an ABC television series. ABC is, of course, owned by Disney. And the topic of Lando, the Lando series, did come up quite out of the blue. Now, of course, Donald Glover dodged any hard information about this, but the way things kind of came out of the blue and his response in general gives us hope that Donald Glover will in fact be reprising his role as Lando Calrissian in some form or another for the series. Here is what actually went down on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Jimmy Kimmel, just as I say, with no prompting, brought up the topic of Lando by saying, "And you're working on a new Lando project for Disney Plus right now?" Donald Glover replied, "Am I? Just telling all my business. I have a lot of things." He went on to say, "I like to blossom and then go away. And right now, definitely the start of another one of those. I have like a ton of stuff I've been working on. I just wanted it all to come out at the same time." So like I say, far, far from concrete, but I think it's telling that this was brought up and Donald's response was far from flat-out denial. And it kind of ties into the fact that, you know, we know that he enjoyed his time on Solo, A Star Wars Story, playing the character of Lando. He enjoyed the carrying on the role from Billy Dee Williams, who he seems to have admiration for historically. And, yeah, I think this is something to be taken seriously.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel is one of those late-night talk shows, and because it is broadcast on ABC, owned by ABC, which of course is owned by Disney, it is one of the first go-to places where actors on Disney productions go to sort of promote. It's sort of, you know, one of the first, if not the first, sort of pit stop on promotional tours. And of course, the producers and things like that, they would get sort of insider information, heads up, if trying to sort of promote or lead into new things. So the fact that no one really knew if Donald Glover was going to be involved in this in any capacity, the fact that Jimmy Kimmel just sort of came out with it means that, yes, he has been told to ask about this. He has been told to sort of, So I think that that's pretty much confirmation, the fact that he just came out with it and just asked on it when there hasn't been anything in the news about it recently. You know, most of the time, actors appear on talk shows to promote recent things, you know, albums, movies, TV series and stuff like that. And sometimes stuff that they're working on to throw into the mix there as well. So the fact that this came up feels like a really solid green flag that yes, it is being worked on. He has signed on to it. And
The other thing to keep in mind is that Star Wars Celebration is on the horizon. It's imminent, and we're expecting some major announcements there, sometimes as many as, you know, one major announcement per day in terms of things that are coming down the pipeline. So this could be breaking the ice, just a heralding the imminent further announcements related to the Lando series. I think that would be immensely cool if we got official confirmation that Donald Glover, and there's even people talking about the possibility of some sort of mix of both Donald and Billy Dee Williams being in the show, and that would just be a super, super coup, I think.
Well, the interesting thing, as you bring up, like, having an announcements a day at Celebration, one thing that just sort of crossed my mind is the fact that this will be the first Star Wars Celebration convention that we have had since the launch of Disney Plus.
Mm.
We have not had a celebration since around the earlier part of 2019, which was prior to Disney Plus launching. We knew it was sort of on the horizon and stuff like that. We were hoping we'd see Star Wars stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how much of a focus there will be about revealing teasers, new content, sort of snippets of existing productions, or whether we will get sort of reveals of brand new, haven't been talked about publicly, Star Wars productions for Disney Plus. So I'm really hoping that possibly this hint right now means that we will get a little bit more confirmation at Celebration about this.
That's an interesting point that, like you say, there hasn't been a celebration since Disney Plus has been in existence. One thing that I hope is a positive aspect of that is that very occasionally, or most of the time that announcements are made or information is shown at events like Celebration, it is broadcast online. But not entirely always. Every now and then there's some stuff that's kept a little bit behind closed doors. But I think with Disney Plus, if any announcement related to Disney Plus is being made, then it will show up on official Disney Plus channels as well, because they want subscribers to have that same information alongside the people that are actually attending Celebration. One other thing just to throw into the mix, of course, is that Donald Glover's relationship with Disney and Disney Productions isn't isolated to Star Wars alone. Of course, in the 2019 version of The Lion King, he voiced Simba the Lion. So, yeah, there's a little bit of history there with Disney. And so it would not be surprising if, that extends into a new series. Okay, moving away from live action series, I want to talk about an upcoming Star Wars novel. Shadow of the Sith by Adam Christopher is due out on June the 28th this year. An excerpt has been published on StarWars.com that is well worth reading. Now, I generally glance at these sort of excerpts when they're published on StarWars.com, but I don't always read every single one religiously, to be honest, and that's partly because I don't want to be spoiled, but this one in particular, I think, gives very little away, very little new. It's very confined in terms of the time frame it encompasses, and I highly recommend, there's a bit of a spoiler at the tail end, but I think it's a very, very exciting hook that will make you want to read this book even more in many ways. We're excited about this book for a number of reasons. It's written by Adam Christopher, who is in fact a New Zealander. We have interviewed him on SWNZ before. We'll put a link to that interview down below. He's currently residing in the UK, but he still identifies as a Kiwi, and he has strong, fond memories of watching early Star Wars movies when he lived in New Zealand as a child. And the other very, very interesting thing is where in the Star Wars chronology this book takes place. There's been a number of elements of material that have been inserted between Return of the Jedi and the sequel trilogy, but this one takes place a little bit closer to the actual sequel trilogy. So it's actually leading up, it's a prequel of sorts to the events of The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker. It's set 2 decades on from the Battle of Endor, and part of the official publisher's synopsis reads thus: Jedi Master Skywalker is haunted by visions of the dark side, foretelling an ominous secret growing somewhere in the depths of space on a dead world called Exegol. The disturbance in the Force is undeniable, and Luke's worst fears are confirmed when his old friend Lando Calrissian comes to him with reports of a new Sith menace. I just read that particular excerpt from the publisher's summary because it just highlights the fact that this book is about, in particular, Luke teaming up with Lando. And I think that's kind of mildly interesting when we've just been talking about the Lando series, which I imagine is going to encompass Lando's historic adventures. So we've got a novel coming up that's encompassing his more contemporary adventures, depending on how you want to frame it. This is a book I'm really quite looking forward to, and I'd recommend that you take a look at the StarWars.com excerpt because it's very, very exciting. It's a book that I'm definitely going to get a hold of and consume as soon as it's available, I think.
Yeah, and the way as the way it sort of book teasers go, this one is pretty good. It's not an arduous read. You don't need to sort of know anything about other novels set in this sort of time period or anything. You don't need to have read basically any Star Wars book. All you need to do is have watched the movies to sort of really appreciate the important events that are going to be revealed in this one, just by this small detail right at the end of this excerpt. It's definitely worth, even if you just want to like scroll down to the bottom and read the last paragraph of this excerpt, it's definitely worth checking out if you want sort of a tease for what this book might contain. I'm very, very much looking forward to it, and thankfully not too much of a wait. I think this is going to be one of those ones where it might be, you know, one of those things that a lot of Star Wars fans think or consider to be sort of essential reading.
I think it works well that it's a standalone novel in some ways. A lot of the new material that's coming out at the moment, the comics in particular, they're quite long story arcs spread across multiple installments, so you've got to start at the beginning and work your way through them. Same applies to the High Republic series. It's kind of refreshing in some ways just to have this book, and like you say, just about anyone without being necessarily an avid book reader, having consumed a lot of the recent canon content, anyone can jump in and probably get a hold of this book and enjoy it. All right, we want to talk about a local event that will be coming up in Auckland, New Zealand soon. The Music of John Williams in Concert is a live orchestra event that will be taking place at the Auckland Town Hall on Saturday, October the 1st, starting at 8 p.m. You can check out more information at orchestratedevents.co.nz. Now, this is still a little bit in development in terms of what the entire playlist, but I'm quite excited about the notion of hearing live orchestra music from John Williams, and it's going to encompass a lot of movies that we're intimately familiar with, including E.T., Raiders of the Lost Ark, Schindler's List, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Jurassic Park, Harry Potter, and last but far from least, Star Wars.
Yeah, this is really fun. I always wish that, you know, John Williams had the time and capacity to tour internationally. He does concerts in the US and different cities, different states from time to time, and they are always very, very popular. Of course, he has a huge back catalogue, one of the most sort of awarded cinema composers in history, with the number of Oscars and nominations he has to his name. So it's definitely one of those things that I am really looking forward to in New Zealand, getting a sort of, even though he himself won't be conducting it, it'll still be a great opportunity to hear that music played with an orchestra.
It's all powerful music that is immediately, you can immediately recognize what movie it's from, and in many instances, what scenes it's from. And so it's just fantastic. But hear it live, I think I'm looking forward to attending that, I think. I want to talk just briefly about the potentially upcoming Star Wars game, Eclipse. It was a couple of months back that the teaser trailer for Star Wars Eclipse, which looked really interesting, quite fantastic in terms of the production values for the trailer, came out. Star Wars Eclipse is being produced, being developed by a company called Quantic Dream, and unfortunately, there's been a little bit of controversy associated with this. Don't want to get too mired down into it, but the consequence of the controversy is that people are a little bit skeptical that this game would actually come to fruition. It's not expected to be released for a few years down the line, but even with that in mind, the company is reported to be having trouble hiring developers for this project in particular. Quantic Dream has had its fair share of controversy over a number of years now. It's had allegations of workplace issues, including sexual harassment and toxic work culture. And as a consequence of that, there's been a lot of gaps that they haven't been able to fill in terms of hiring developers. That's all I want to say at that level. But newsworthy is that Quantic Dream is going to be acquired by a Chinese internet company called NetEase that currently has a minority stake in the company. They're going to purchase it outright. And I think the potential upshot of all of this is that there may be resources that may be able to be applied to it, and or there will be changes in the culture and or leadership of Quantic Dream that may bring things back into alignment, may make this a better, more ethical company, and may have a more positive effect on the Star Wars project, Star Wars Eclipse.
Yeah, it was a little bit sad, you know, when the trailer came out, it was sort of split into two camps. People were very, very excited by a new Star Wars game, seeing the graphics, the potential. They were very, very excited. And then when the sort of the credits at the end popped up and people were like, oh, Quantic Dream, it kind of really did affect, people didn't want to sound too excited. It was sort of like you were rooting for a company that has this kind of unfortunate reputation. So I feel like if there's a shift up, if they can and kind of correct the sort of the issues that have plagued the reputation here. That could mean that the Star Wars game, and certainly the Star Wars fans, can be more optimistic and actually fully excited for this without sort of worrying about the company behind it.
How it all pans out remains to be seen, of course, and the story is, of course, complicated, but I think it is newsworthy to note that this change is imminent, and if you've been following along, if you've been aware of the game, if you've been aware of some of the controversy associated with this company, then this news is relevant to the larger story. Okay, let's talk about Star Wars product announcements and local store reports. Let's start by talking about Star Wars Lego. A few podcasts back, we talked about the reveal of the Ahsoka Tano Brickheads figure. These Brickheads series are quite fun, blocky interpretations of characters that you build with a couple of hundred pieces of Lego. The Ahsoka Tano one, it looks great. It hasn't appeared to be available through many retailers, but it is in fact available at the Lego store in Newmarket and direct through Lego.com, the New Zealand component of that. It's priced at $19.99, made up of 164 pieces, and the set number is 40539. We will put a link down below that you can purchase that directly from. Very cute figure.
If you are a fan of Ahsoka, especially in Lego form, if you do happen to visit the Lego store in Newmarket, they also have the same sort of Clone Wars Ahsoka figure in a keychain form. This minifig has appeared in other Clone Wars Series 7 sets, particularly the one where she fights Darth Maul. There is a version of her with a Clone Wars era tank, I believe. But it's just fun to see more of that character coming in through some of the Lego lines. I really do like the Brickheads collection. They're kind of like, you know, Lego's answer to Funko Pop Vinyls, and that kind of cute, stylized, distinctly Lego, but in sort of a cute, short, stylized way. Very happy to see that she has made it to New Zealand.
Now, also on the topic of Star Wars Lego, three new sets have just been revealed. They are actually up for pre-order again from Lego.com. You can get those directly in New Zealand. I think these are very, very cool sets. They are essentially little dioramas. They all have similar size bases. They're probably matching size bases so they can be displayed together on a shelf. And they represent specific scenes from the original trilogy. The first one is called the Death Star Trash Compactor Diorama, set 75339. 802 pieces, priced at $160, includes four minifigures, Han, Luke, Leia, and Chewbacca, and in a trash compactor scene from Star Wars A New Hope. Second up is the Death Star Trench Run Diorama, set number 75329, priced at $100 flat, or $99.99, 665 pieces, and this has four microfighter type vehicles, Luke's X-Wing, Darth Vader's TIE Fighter, and two standard TIE Fighters in a Trench Run Diorama. And finally, my favorite is a Dagobah Jedi Training Diorama, priced at $140, 1,000 pieces, three minifigures of Luke, Yoda, and R2, and a wing of the X-Wing sinking into the swamp. But this features Yoda's hut, some Dagobah trees and sort of swamp vines and so forth, and the actual swamp with the X-Wing in it, with Luke undertaking his Jedi training with Yoda. I think it's a really, really cool diorama. I think these are quite attractive pieces that can be displayed together, and really neat addition. It'll be interesting to see if they do more in this particular style.
I feel like these sets are sort of heavily inspired by fan builds. You know, obviously a lot of Lego sets don't come with a lot of sort of base plates, a lot of sort of additional landscaping around them. So you see the huge big sort of set builds that people do at sort of the Lego exhibits. You see them on social media where people sort of take an existing set and build a whole sort of a scene around them. And these feel like sort of a professional sort of kit version of those. So you don't need to be terribly creative or have a lot of experience of Lego to build these very detailed, very cool Star Wars scenes. And I really do hope that this is heralding the start of sort of a new subline for Lego, so that you can put these on a shelf, that they look like, they look more like sort of sculptures. They kind of remind me of some of those.
They're kind of walled. They have three walls, so they're like a chunk of a scene, and they capture the entirety of the scene. These aren't just a building or a beast or a vehicle with a couple of minifigures. They're full-on scenes, and very sculptural, like you say.
There's something that almost looks like every now and again in years past, there would be sort of statues sort of, you know, that would depict a scene that were on a nice sort of black base, sort of glossy little display plaque and stuff like that. And this sort of feels like a Lego version of that, you know, at an affordable price point. You don't need to be a big Lego collector for these to look great on a shelf because they're sort of self-contained scenes. A little bit like we're seeing with some of the Funkos. Funko is kind of, instead of just always doing just the standard one figure by themselves, they're branching into more scenes, more detailed bases, things that click together, like we're seeing the Duel of the Fates set, you know, clicking together to sort of create a whole diorama scene rather than a single figure in a static pose making sort of scenes. So it's interesting to see very long-standing sort of Star Wars collectibles kind of evolving in this manner. It's almost like trying to do sort of high-end collectibles. So you don't just have a bookshelf with like starfighters and a whole array of minifigures everywhere. You're getting these really well-crafted, very well-detailed scenes, which look really cool. I'm really hoping we get good quantities of these in New Zealand because they're sure to be popular.
Last week, we talked about the Star Wars Soda vinyl figure collectibles from Funko being available in New Zealand or available for pre-order. The first wave included Luke Skywalker and Boba Fett. We mentioned that Darth Vader and Stormtrooper would be coming shortly. They are Darth Vader and the Stormtrooper, the second wave, are in fact up for pre-order on Mighty Ape and other retailers that stock Funko products right now in New Zealand. So they actually showed up quite soon after the podcast, but of course our podcast had just gone out. But if you search for Soda Vinyl or jump on the link that we're going to put down below, you can see that Darth Vader and Stormtrooper. So these are animated style figures that are slightly different from standard Funko stylings and sculpture approaches that fit inside a actual soft drink can shaped packaging, and they come with the chance of a chase figure. The Darth Vader chase figure is a pretty subtle variant. I believe it might have a glow-in-the-dark lightsaber or similar. It's a little hard to tell from the product images out there. And the Stormtrooper has a metallic finish for the chase variant, but it's an interesting concept. And this is a smaller subline than the wider standard Funko Pop vinyl figures that you'll see out there. So they're going to be much more collectible in terms of trying to get the whole set if you're an end-to-end collector of a line like this. And rounding out our local store reports from New Zealand, Mint is a new silver, or two new in fact, silver Han Solo in carbonite legal tender coins. 1 ounce silver coin priced at the standard sort of 1 ounce silver product level of $160 odd, and a 3 ounce versions. This is a product that kind of feels like it's been asking to be done. It's no surprise it didn't show up for New Zealand Mint earlier. It is straight up a block of silver in the shape of Han Solo and carbonite as seen in The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and you can get two different sizes of this 1 ounce and 3 ounce silver versions. We love some of the New Zealand Mint products across the board. These ones are really neat designs and a really neat idea. So if you've been collecting those, they're worth considering to add to your collection. If you haven't, it's also a pretty good place to start because it's quite a good looking collectible that is technically illegal tender coin but doesn't quite look like it.
Yeah, I enjoy the NZ Mint Star Wars line. Obviously, a lot of the lines, you feel like you need to kind of collect the set. But with a design like this, it isn't really a set. It is just the one design. There are other sort of shaped coins. They have done the Millennium Falcon. They've done the Death Star. But this one, again, it's kind of like a one-off. And you can decide which price point, which size fits your budget, fits your sort of collecting style. I think that these are really fun. It's kind of interesting. It looks like the sort of classic Hannah Cavanaugh with that fantastic silver sort of finish to it, and then on the back it's got sort of the stamp, a circular stamp in the back that looks like a classic coin, you know, with the Queen's portrait profile on the back. So it's really quite fun sort of seeing this interestingly shaped coin, and I'm sure this one is going to sell really well.
Okay, that's about it for today's installment. I guess we are done doing talking. If you have any thoughts on the topics we discussed today, we're definitely keen to hear them. What would you like to see in a live-action Lando Calrissian series? Leave a comment on the YouTube page or our website page for this podcast. But thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to us share our passion for Star Wars. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and another podcast episode next week. Don't forget, you can jump on over to either our Facebook group or the SWNZ message boards to discuss all the latest Star Wars news with other Kiwi fans. Kia ora, kia noho, haumaru, thank you for listening and stay safe.
Tūro Hawaiki, may the Force be with you.